When and where are you going to get your customers, your clients, your members, the people who are going to invest money into your business? Where are they going to come from? And that could also be business investors. It could be the bank manager. It could be a venture capitalist who loves what you do and wants to put money into what you do. So where are those people going to come from and when? And if we could work that out, could we possibly be on the right path? Or we would have a successful business because we would know who to chat to and when to chat to them. So we would attract the right people into our business. Well, here's a great question. What if everybody had the possibility or could be or might potentially invite other people into our business? And it was a suggestion made to me a very long time ago when I was managing health clubs, and I started that when I was 18. So very, very long time ago. And the question was asked, Rowie, how do you know who's going to join your gym? And how do you know how long they're going to join for? And if you don't know, would it be important to treat everybody that you come in contact with as potential members, potential investors, potential people who would want to do business with you, invest time with you, invest money into you? And I took that on board because it sounded logical to me. How the hell would I know? And the last many decades have proved that to be very, very true. We never know who's going to become our client, our customer, our member, and we certainly don't know when they're going to do it. And there's many sales systems available in the world that says, well, you should inspire people to start today and they should buy your product or service today and you should only talk to your target market. And there are a lot of businesses that do that, and I hesitatingly suggest that that may not always work. In fact, I'll passionately suggest that, because we just never know. And the really interesting thing, particularly in the exercise profession, but it would relate to any product or service, I imagine, is that I'm doing what I do because I love it, but my customers or clients might not be ready for my product or service yet. So I might market my business, my gym, my personal training studio, my boot camps, the thing that I'm passionate about, and I tell everybody about it. Or I might only tell my target market about it, because there's a great rule in business that your target market, when you send out marketing material, they would say, oh my God, that's me. They can help me, and or they can help somebody in my life, somebody in my family, one of my friends. However, the when then becomes a very important question, because they might, or you might not be able to help that person now. You might not be able to help somebody in their family now. But when they are ready to be helped, who do you want them to call? And that's the all important question. When they are ready, who are they going to get in contact with? And it seems to be in most businesses, and certainly what I have experienced as a consumer of products and services for 50 years plus, is that most people, once they think you may not be a customer or client today, there's no follow-up. In fact, there's not even any startup, any follow-up. And I have to laugh about that, because business is really simple, as you know. Find a product or service that will add value to people's lives, that provides a solution to a problem, and people will want to buy your product or service if they have that problem. But if they're going to buy it from you, why would they buy it from you? And is it possible that they might buy it from you rather than somebody else, because you're the person that's kept in contact with them, because you're the person that's done the follow-up, because you're the passionate person about your product or service? And even if somebody else has got the same product or service, they're a bit bored with it all. And that's happened to me so many times now, where I've made big buying decisions based on the passion that somebody has for their business. And that might not be the reason why you buy something, but can I just plant this seed? Is it possible that if somebody is really passionate about their product or service and they want to be the best in the world at what they do or the product that they provide, is it possible that they are doing the training, the education, the learning, the ongoing analysis and research, the quality control? They're doing everything possible to make sure that their product or service is the best because they love it. And then for me, that's just a logical step. I want to do business with people that are doing the best that is possible for me, which is they're doing the ongoing learning and education to make sure their product or service is the best for me. So when somebody's ready to buy your product or service, when do we know that? And a couple of examples. There's plenty of marketing goes out into the world every day, whether it's a letterbox drop or a Facebook post or an Instagram upload, or we post a video on YouTube, or some people are still doing newspaper advertising, radio advertising. There's so much marketing that keeps going out there. But a lot of people expect that, okay, I'm going to market, I'm going to get inquiries, and I'm going to get customers and clients. And if they don't from that particular piece of marketing, they often stop that marketing. They don't do it anymore because it didn't work, and they go into something else. Interestingly, though, that's an assumption that the people that you sent marketing to, that you posted to, that whatever it is you put out there, that the people that read it, or even the people that didn't read it, and I'll check into that one later, that they are ready to buy your product or service now. They might not even know that they need it yet. So for example, somebody might see your ad for a boot camp or a gym or a personal training studio, and they feel great today and their clothes fit them and they're having a wonderful day, they're going to a party, or they might be going on holidays, and they're not even interested in joining a gym or finding somebody to help them with their health and fitness. So they notice your ad, they might see your pretty picture or they might see something about your ad, but they take no notice, or it just makes a little indent into their brain because they don't want your product or service. However, when they do, they might go to the mirror one day and not like what they see. They might try on a pair of jeans that don't fit anymore. The doctor might have told them they've got high blood pressure. One of their kids might have told them they were fat. And now they want to do something. Now they say, hell, I've got to find myself a personal trainer. I've got to find myself a gym. What am I going to do? And usually now people Google personal training studios or gyms, or wish they would, exercise professionals. But unfortunately, your marketing, which they might have seen 3 months ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 days ago, hasn't registered because you haven't kept in contact with them. So would it be a really good idea to rather than just randomly throw marketing out to the world to 100,000 people or 100 people or even 10 people, why not decide who exactly that you would like to see your marketing? And that is, yes, called target marketing. And I'll share that again. When somebody reads what you've got to offer, or they listen or watch, they would literally say, that's me, or they can help me, or they can help somebody in my family. That's the ultimate marketing. But if they get it, and they might even say, well, maybe in the future sometime I could use this product or service, if they never see it again, they'll forget it. And I'm sure you've experienced that where, yeah, maybe I saw you 6 months ago, or maybe I saw your Facebook post 6 months ago, but I don't remember because it was 6 months ago. What if, though, every day, every week you decide what you can do, pick a group of people, pick a target market, pick an area, and keep in contact with those people constantly, regularly, not intermittently, just a constant, and not a trying to sell them something. That's the big thing about marketing versus selling or advertising. Marketing is everything you do to attract people into your business, but we should probably add to the end of that when they're ready, because people may not be ready now. Another simple example, your car might be working brilliantly, you have no challenges with it, you see or don't see any ads for motor mechanics until your car's broken. Now you're looking for motor mechanics. But if your local motor mechanic had kept in contact with you in some kind of fun, special, unique way, the first person you would call when your car's broken is your local mechanic, because you know who they are. If you are perfectly healthy, you might not see any marketing advertising for any kind of medical professional. And I know that they have some rules and regulations on advertising. But if my local doctor is keeping in contact with me via a health newsletter or a communication of, you know, 10 ways to keep healthy, and I get one every month for the next 10 months, there's a lot of doctors in my area. If I get something from a doctor that is regular, it's disciplined, it's committed, it's focused, and of course when something's regular, all of those things are shared. This business is disciplined, committed, and focused because they produce something on a regular basis. Then when I have a choice about which doctor I'm going to go to, is it more likely that I'm going to choose the doctor that is kept in contact with me and build a relationship with me rather than just Google doctors? And I'm asking that really passionately because, number one, people waste a lot of money on marketing. You may have, and if you haven't already, I hope that this might help you never waste money on marketing. And the reason for when I say waste, they do one lot of marketing and it didn't work, so they try another lot of marketing and that doesn't work, so they try something else. But ultimately, relationships are not built on one contact. You might believe in love at first sight, but the person that you want to invest the rest of your life with, you probably had more than one interaction with them before you made a decision that you were going to invest the rest of your life with them. And I get that some people know I met them and I loved them and we got married, but it's not usual. And business is the same. Most people love it when people make them feel special, make them feel important, make them feel cared about, make them feel like doing business with you will add value to my life. So how about consider that anybody, anytime could be your customer, your client, your member, but you've got to keep in contact with people. That's number one. Number two is the when. And the suggestion is as often as you can, consistently, disciplined, and regularly keep in contact with people. And then there's that great question, if it's who and when, how about whenever you go out of your house, is it possible that anybody that you come in contact with could at some stage in your business future be a part of your business? So some simple examples, I've watched with interest as some houses have gone up around my house. I've watched how hard the builders work or the carpenters or the concreters or the painters. I've watched carefully what they do and don't do. And I've also interacted with all of them because I'm that kind of a person. I go and say hello, big happy smiley face, how you doing? And it's been interesting because a lot of people that I've chatted to have either been indifferent to me. I know I'm an old lady. Which tradie wants to talk to an old lady? They've been indifferent or they've even been rude. Interestingly, I've had a couple of builders and builders, concreters and carpenters and electricians and plumbers. There's a lot of them. We get to choose who we do business with. And it's been interesting because the communication that I've had, the top level communication, unfortunately has been with the owners of the business. When I say unfortunately, of course the owner of the business should be the person who's the most passionate about their business. But imagine if you work for somebody else and you're really passionate and friendly and kind and respectful and you treat people beautifully, you never know where business is going to be coming from. So the people that I've chatted to, they've got no idea that I'm currently quoting to build a house. I'm just chatting to people in my area just as a friendly, hello, how you doing? Tell me about you and what's going on and do you love what you do? But now I've got a delightful list of tradies, a delightful list of companies that I want to work with because of the way they treated an old lady on a business site that they didn't, and I'll rephrase, is it possible that our true character is determined by how we treat the people who can't do anything for us? But how do we know that this person's not going to be our customer or our client in the future? So most of the people that I've chatted to don't know that I would really like them to now quote for my building, but they're on my list to call because of the way they treated me on a public holiday or on a Saturday or when they were busy. Even just a happy smiley face for me is a reason to do business with somebody versus indifferent or stressed. So there's a great question to ask. When you're outside your house, and I don't know what you do inside your house, I'd hope you're the same everywhere you go, but when people can see you and how you interact with, number one, the people who can't do anything for you. Because interesting, when we're looking for business, when we're looking for customers and clients, we tend to be on our best behavior. And we treat people delightfully. We're not rude to anybody if we think they might be our customer or client. But I'll share that again. A very long time ago, the question was asked, Rowie, how do you know who's going to be your customer or who's going to be your client? So I've got a couple of fun examples for that. I won a competition. And I want a coffee machine and I don't have time to make coffee at home. So I rang the SPCA shop and said, I've got this brand new coffee machine. I'd like to drop it off. What's the best time to drop it off? And had a lovely conversation with the lady at the SPCA. Well, I don't know, 5 years ago? No, long, much longer, maybe 10 years ago. And that lady has contacted me in regards to which gym should I choose, which exercise professional personal trainer should I choose. She said, I remember the conversation I had with you. You shared with me that you inspire and excite people to have a career that they love. You told me that if I ever needed an exercise professional to look after me, I should get in contact with you. And here I am. Now, that's a long time. But the beautiful thing about being a kind, gracious, friendly, happy, positive person is it's memorable. Most people aren't. So whoever you come in contact with, if you're kind and loving and friendly, then is it more likely that people want to do business with you in the future if they remember what it is that you do? And wouldn't it be good if people knew what you do? So there's that great question when somebody says, how are you? And I say, how do you think I am? I'm helping people to have a career that they love and not a job that they don't. And specifically, people who want to have their own personal training studio or gym. So if you ever need to have a personal trainer or a gym, please let me know and I'll help you find one. Now, here comes the reverse of that. I have lots of people in my life who own gyms and personal training studios, and lots of them are really rude to me. And I'm not asking people to be kind or nice or respectful to me. It's not about that. But if I've got a business colleague, I don't want to send them to a personal training studio or a gym or an exercise professional that is rude, because that would just come back onto me. So then when I have to go find a gym or a personal training studio for one of my business colleagues, I have to be really careful. And of course, I want to send people to the people that I interact with that are delightful all of the time, not just when they're trying to sell me something. So it just, here's an interesting example. A lot of people contact me in regards to, please, can you find personal trainers or gym instructors or our group exercise instructors? We need to employ somebody. So they send me an email, Roe, can you please advertise for a new trainer for my gym? And as we know, if you advertise anywhere for a new team player, a staff member, you have to pay for that. Well, not at Max. I will always go out of my way to put your ad into the Max way and to contact the students that I know that would be good people for your health club. And I do that. It's a personal thing that I do. I want my students to have a great career position. Interestingly, a lot of the gyms that contact me, a lot of the personal training studios, once they've asked me to put an ad in the Maxway and to put it on our Facebook page and on our Max app, and when you do that, by the way, first of all, please do it, because I will always do it. But you'll get into the face of around 10,000 people, and that can be very helpful if you're looking for a great exercise professional. Interestingly, a lot of those gym owners, personal training managers, people in the exercise, I'll call it industry, not profession, number one, never thank me, and that's okay. I'm not asking me to be thanked, but I'm asking you, do you always say thank you to people who do something for you? And then often I'll get a rude email that says, take me off your database, because obviously when somebody gets in contact with me and their ad's going to be in the Maxway in my newsletter, I will then put them on my database to make sure that they get the Maxway. The recent one, and I'm going to share this with you, not my words, I'm just going to share it with you. I had a health club owner who sent me an email that said, take me off your fucking database. And that was the same health club owner that had asked me to put an ad in our Maxway to find them a great team player. And I do know that they did find a great team player who's still working there. Now, if you were me and you had an opportunity to send somebody to a health club, would you choose that one? Now, that gym owner might have been having a bad day. I don't know. I'm just asking us all as exercise professionals for the reputation of our profession, but as human beings, we never know who's going to send us a customer or a client. We never know who's going to give us a referral. We never know what interaction that we have with people, how that will affect what happens to our business. So whether it's the person you chat to in the supermarket or the petrol station or at the local shop, whether it's the person you chat to on the phone, which is another great story I would love to share with you. I was purchasing some shoes online. There came a time in history where you actually couldn't go to the shop to buy shoes, so you had to buy them online. I had some broken shoes. So I'm chatting to the person, and I was in New Zealand and the person was in Melbourne. And we had a great conversation. And I asked lots of questions and we had a laugh, and it was just a really fun interaction. Well, I then sent a message to the business to say thank you very much for the great customer service I received. And I then received a pair of shoes. And I hadn't invested in those shoes. There was a bit of a mishap with whether or not they had my size and they were going to get back to me. And I hadn't given them my credit card number, nothing. I received a pair of shoes in the mail that just said, thank you very much for the way you treated our staff. They are always treated so rudely online. And even though we couldn't help you immediately, you were still kind and gracious and we really appreciated it. So to say thank you for being a nice person, we've sent you a pair of shoes. Whoa, just for being nice. Now, I am never expecting that to be nice, I'm going to get a gift. But for us to now live in a world where if you are nice, people go out of their way to send you a gift, that's quite surprising. So what I'm asking again is, if you want your business to be successful, if you want people to refer people to your business, always ask yourself this question: where are my customers and clients going to come from and when? And if you always live in the space of I don't know, it could be anybody at any time and or any time in the future. So they might not become your customer or client today, but they might be in 5 years' time, they might be in 10 years' time. Another interesting example, I had a mum who was a member at my health club, and again, it had to have been 10 years later. I had a lady, beautiful young lady, walk into my health club. She said, I'm here to join. There was no, can you share with me what you can do for me, or here are my goals or anything. She just walked up to the front desk and she said, I just want to join. And I said, tell me about that. And she said, well, my mother was a member here about 10 years ago. She's been raving about you ever since. She moved away. My health club was in Brisbane at the time. My mum moved away. And when my mum used to come here, I was just a kid. But she always used to come home from the gym raving about how special she felt when she went there, and how people always remembered her name, and how they played her favorite music when she went to the health club, and she just loved it here. So I'm here because my mum loved it 10 years after her mum was a member. We never know who's watching us. We never know who's listening to us. We never know the impact we can make, positive or negative, based on our behavior. And one last story. I was walking through the supermarket on the Gold Coast. This was a very long time ago. We had a college at the Gold Coast at the time. And I did my groceries. I went downstairs from the college and got my trolley and just went round the supermarket and did my groceries. And when I came out of the supermarket, there was a lady standing at the checkout, and she handed me my business card, which is really quite unusual, because usually what we do is hand out, we hope that if we hand out our business card, it will add value to our business. Well, here's this complete stranger, and she handed me back my business card. And there's two parts to this story. Number one, always put your photo on your business card so people remember you. They don't remember your name, they don't remember words, but we always remember pictures. Anyway, she handed this card to me and she said, oh, I've been watching you. She said, my son came to your college and he comes home from college and he's always raving about those happy, positive people, happy, happy, happy all the time. She said, it's a bit obnoxious really hearing about how happy you are. So knowing who you are based on your business card, because my son put it up on our fridge, I watched you today. And she said, I was going into the supermarket. I knew that I had your business card in my wallet, and I thought, well, I'll watch this lady and see if she's the real deal. She said, I watched you talk to the greengrocery guy. I watched you talk to people in the aisles. I watched your big, happy, smiley face. I watched your interaction with the person at the checkout. She said, you are the real deal. My son is not talking about an obnoxious person. You're actually a happy person. I'm sharing that story with you because we never know who's watching us. We never know what impact we can make, positive or negative. I'll share that again. And if we want our business to grow, there's that great quote, who I am and what I do are the same thing. So if you're trying to sell your product or service and after that live a different life, it's been suggested that maybe that business won't be as successful as it could be. If everywhere you go and everything you do is designed to just be you, and you're passionate about what you do, and when somebody says, how are you? And you say, how do you think I am? I just help somebody slide into their jeans. I'm having a great day. How about you? Or somebody says to you, how are you? What do you do? And you say, how amazing. I specialize in helping people who are over 40 and want to feel fantastic till they're 140. I'm having a great day. How are you? If you have those kind of responses to everybody that you come in contact with, do you think it would be memorable? Do you think it would be unique? And is it possible that that person, if not a member, a client, a customer now, might become one in the future? And last but not least, whatever marketing you do, please be aware that could it be selfish to think that if you send out some marketing that everybody in your area is ready to come and do business with you now? Almost disrespectful. But when they are ready, who do you want them to call? So my favorite, of course, is sending out happy mail to the neighborhood, and you send out a letter that's not about coming to do business with you. It's just a happy letter with a newsletter in it, and you keep sending it to the same people over and over, and you make it unique and different and memorable so that when people are ready to come and use your product or service, the only person they would call is you, because you're the person that's been in contact with them. You haven't tried to sell them anything. You've just added value to their life over and over and over. And that's why they now, it might be 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years later, that's why they want to come and do business with you now. So please be the person that people want to do business with, and not just because you're trying to sell them a product or service today, but you're just a great person. And is it possible that that sweet spot, to do what you're the most passionate about, aim to be the best in the world at it and add massive value to people's lives, that sweet spot is the reason why business is successful. But that third part, add massive value to people's lives, could that have a lot to do with the when? If you are adding massive value to people's lives whenever you come in contact with people, is it possible that somewhere down the track, in some weird and wonderful way, that this person will come and do business with you? And it doesn't matter if they don't. Who cares if they don't? You wake up every day being the person that you want to be. You're the kind, respectful, gracious, generous, well-mannered person that you love to invest time with, and you are that person every single day. Is it possible that you'll just be a happy person anyway? Wow, what a great question.